thought for us to think of, because he's our example. We should also be about his business insofar as we can, and as we have the strength and God gives us the opportunity, we should do all things well. And I've got something to share with you before we jump into the sermon this morning. It has to do with the yellow insert in your bulletin. You know, 3 weeks ago, we kicked off this effort to retire the debt on our new facility here. A number of people have stepped up to start doing that. And because of that, you might remember that our goal was $280,000. I was told by our financial secretary this week that she deposited $28,025 on the principal, which makes our new goal $251,975 to go. 10% of what we're trying to, by God's grace and provision, retire was taken care of in the first 3 weeks. So be in prayer about that. Come alongside. Let's see what God can do, and let's celebrate in the process. It's all about the blessings of God. You know, today the 10 things that God wants you to know, the one that we're focusing on today, is God says, I will bless you. First two, you know, were very important. God says, I love you. That's the core. That's where it all comes from. God says, I'll be with you. And now God says, I will bless you. Let's look at one of those places in the Word where the Lord says that, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 5, 1 through 11, the famous Beatitudes. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray together. Lord, open up our eyes to the blessings all around us and the blessings that are in and through our lives. Help us not to take for granted. Help us not to let these things be invisible to us, because we need to see your blessings in our lives. For by this, we can be assured of your love and assured of your presence among us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes it can seem to be a little bit difficult to talk about or think about blessings in a world that sometimes seems to be blessingless. A world where there are troubles and where there are sorrows and where there are difficulties. Just let me read you a few headlines just in the past few days. And this first headline I am getting mortally tired of. I'm getting mortally tired of moving our flag to half-mast, because this headline is 10 killed, 10 injured in school shooting in Texas. How long, O Lord, before we do something about this? Another one, 60 killed and hundreds injured in the Gaza protests in Israel. 10,000 evacuated from their homes in the eruption of Mount Kilauea in Hawaii. Shooting incident after a graduating ceremony in Jonesboro, Georgia, leaves one wounded and one dead. More than 100 killed in a passenger airplane crash in Cuba. And as bad as all those first five were, to me, number six was in some ways the worst. If you have not yet forgotten the Iraq War, as apparently many have, Muqtada al-Sadr's coalition wins election in Iraq. For those of you who don't remember, Muqtada al-Sadr was one of the people who were pushing back against the American forces that were trying to liberate Baghdad. Hundreds of our American soldiers were killed by this man's forces as we tried to set his country free. And now his coalition has won the election, and I am not surprised at all to hear many veterans of the Iraqi conflict say, what did we do and what did we accomplish and what was all that blood spilt for? Sometimes it's hard to see the blessings while living in a broken and fallen world. And let us not be confused. We live in a broken and a fallen world. It's not God's fault, by the way, but it is the world we live in. And yet the third thing on our list of 10 things that God wants you to know is, I will bless you. Jeremiah, often called the weeping prophet, declared the blessing of God in chapter 17 of his book. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Peter, in the very first sermon preached after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, told the crowd in Jerusalem, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, started his letter off with the blessings of God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you see a theme here? God's blessings are real. Sometimes we don't see God's blessings on our lives because we're blind to them. We take them for granted. Did you wake up this morning? That's a blessing from God. Each day is both a blessing in itself, and it's an opportunity for God to bless us more. As Lamentations says in Lamentations chapter 3, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The blessing of God's faithfulness upon us as we wake up and walk through the day that he has given us. What an amazing blessing that is. But you took it for granted when you got up this morning. It was just another day. Don't let that happen. See the blessings of God. Do your lungs draw breath to breathe? Does your heart beat with the rhythm of life? This too is a blessing from God. Job, in the midst of his trials and tribulations, said this in Job 12, who among us does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of mankind? How many times will you draw breath today? Each one of them is a blessing from God. And if you are blessed to have easy breathing, you are not asthmatic, you don't struggle, you don't have to wear a tube for extra oxygen, how much more should we be grateful for that blessing? Do you have food to eat and meaningful work to do? The preacher of Ecclesiastes tells us these two are blessings from God. From Ecclesiastes 3, right after that famous section, for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, there are these words, I know that nothing is better than for people to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy all the good of his labor. It is the gift, the blessing of God. So when you leave for work tomorrow morning, those of you who have a regular job, count your blessing. There are those who don't have a job, who are looking desperately for a job. And maybe yours is not ideal, but it's a blessing. Those of you who are retired, I am told we should never retire because you're busier after you retire than when you were working. I saw some heads nodding. But what a blessing it is to be able to choose how you will invest your life, how you'll invest your time. What an incredible blessing and freedom that is that us working stiffs don't have yet. Have you ever lifted up your face to feel the warmth of the sun or breathed in the clean air after a summer shower? Jesus said in Matthew 5, "For God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust." That's one of the points that Jesus makes several times. The blessings of God don't just come to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. They don't just come to the people who know him. They come to everyone. Whether you know him or not, whether you trust him or not, whether you believe in him or not, he believes in you. Remember that? With all of these blessings, can we be other than joyously grateful? Well, apparently we can, because often we're not. But we should be. We should be joyously grateful and aware of the blessings that God pours out abundantly on us all the time. And yet, somehow, it's yesterday's news. It's kind of like the story of two friends who connected up one day. You know how I just bump into people sometimes, and one friend was looking at the other, and he looked all downcast and woeful. He looked sad and depressed. And the man said to his friend, who was down and sad and depressed, "What has the world done to you, my friend?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. "Well, that's a lot of money." But the man wasn't done. "But you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear." "Sounds to me," said the first friend, "like you've been very blessed. Why so sad? Why so downcast?" "You don't understand," the man interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away and left me almost $250,000. And now the man's friend was really confused. "You know, add it all up, that's some blessings there, financially speaking anyway. I don't understand. Why are you so glum?" And the man said, "This week, nothing." That's how we act toward the blessings of God, is it not? "This week, nothing." You know, the fact of the matter is, I can only speak for myself, but I would ask you if you would agree in your own heart about this. The fact of the matter is that I have been so blessed in my life that if God never blessed me again in any way, in any shape, in any form, I would still be more abundantly blessed than I ever deserved. God says, "I will bless you." And the fact of the matter is, he's not done yet. He's not finished. As a matter of fact, our passage today, the Beatitudes, they are special blessings just for people who follow Jesus. Did you know that? The Beatitudes aren't for just everybody. They aren't for the whole world. They're only for those who have confessed their sins and put their trust in Jesus and have been saved by him and follow him. They are enormous blessings. The blessings that come out of walking the Jesus way. But here's a warning. These blessings are not always easy. Sometimes God blesses us, and it's not that easy to take, at least in the first instance. So the first one we have is, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, those who are spiritually struggling on the inside. Have you ever felt kind of downcast because I'm just not that great a Christian, you know, I'm just not that holy a person. I just don't seem to have that same glow as everybody. I struggle day after day after day to be who God wants me to be. That's someone who is poor in spirit. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those of you who are struggling. Why? For yours is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it is absolutely true that we don't get to heaven on our merits. You may be the most pathetic Christian that ever lived. You may just struggle and fall and spend more time with your face in the dirt than you do standing on your own 2 feet, spiritually speaking. But God sees you struggling. God sees you trying. And it's through His grace that He's bringing you home. And maybe, just maybe, you're more successful than you know. Because maybe someone's seeing you struggle and saying, you know, if he can do it, if she can do it, maybe I can too. But heaven is promised if you belong to Jesus, no matter how you struggle, no matter how pathetic you may be, spiritually speaking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. It's incredible to me that I still run into people who blame God for sorrow in their lives. And yet the Bible never promises that we will live a life without hardship, without loss, without sorrow. Indeed, some passages say that when we follow Jesus, we may experience more. There are things that break our hearts. But blessed are you, Jesus says, when you mourn, for you will be comforted. What is the one thing that makes a Christian different from a non-Christian? It's not that we're any better, because we're not, generally speaking. The one thing that makes us different from people who don't know Jesus is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The personal presence of God Almighty in our lives. Do you know what one of the names of that presence is? The Comforter. He is always there when our hearts are broken. He is always there when someone has been ripped out of our lives that we so deeply love. He is always there in the tragic things that we're called upon to deal with. He is there. And sometimes we forget what an amazing thing that is. What a great blessing it is. Blessed are the meek, but I like the translation that says, blessed are the gentle. Don't you think this world could use some more gentle people? There's so much harshness, so much attack, so much blame, so much shooting at each other with literal or physical bazookas. I'm getting so frustrated and depressed as a function of the number of political advertisements I'm getting in my mailbox. Because nobody's talking about the good things that they feel like they can do. They're all talking about how rotten the competition is. And you can't trust what they say. They're all liars, but not me. Give me something to vote for. For so many years, I've been voting against. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, For even though they keep a low profile, even though they're not trying to grab everything and take it for their own, they shall inherit the earth. Gentleness is the way to go. If you go in Jesus' way, don't let the world confuse you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, I want so much to be a better person than I am, to be a more righteous person than I am. I want to think right. I want to be right. I want to just automatically do it God's way. I so hunger and thirst for that. If that is you, you will be filled. God will give you the desire of your heart. How's that for a blessing and a promise? You see why these are for Christians and not just for the general population? God can't give these blessings to people who don't know Jesus. Blessed are the merciful. We could use some more mercy in the world too, couldn't we? Most of us could use some more mercy in our lives to give out to those around us. But the best thing about becoming a more merciful person is the sure and solid knowledge that we shall obtain mercy. Jesus once said, "Be careful how you judge another person. Be careful how you think about another person, because by the same standard that you judge that stinker over there, I will be judging you." Which has always encouraged me to be as merciful as possible to every single person I ever encounter. Because I set my standard by which God will judge me. And it's a blessing that He'll judge me in mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I'm impure in heart. My motivations are mixed. I don't do anything simply for a godly motive, if I'm honest. But I've got a promise of transformation. Somehow the great miracle is going to happen that between right now and when I stand before Jesus at the judgment throne of God, the Father's going to look at me and see His Son. I'll be pure in heart. I who've struggled with impurity all my life, I'll be purified. What a blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the stirrer-uppers, not the shouters, not the corner prophets, but the peacemakers, those who bring a quieter spirit into the discussion. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And then it gets really rough. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And really, this is a complementary one to the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because the poor in spirit are the people who struggle with their spiritual issues on the inside. The people who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are the people who've been put in a place where they are struggling with outside influences upon their walk with the Lord. Generally speaking, they are not the people in the United States. They are the people in China. They are the people in Cuba. They are people in North Korea. They are people in the Middle East. You know, they can put you to death in some countries in the Middle East for the crime of telling somebody else about Jesus. Blessed are you when you find yourself in that situation, for yours is the kingdom of heaven too. Heaven is promised no matter how tough things get on the outside or on the inside. That blessing is assured. And then finally, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, for Jesus' sake. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Stop and think about the great heroes who went before. Think about Isaiah. Think about Jeremiah. Think about Amos. Think about Moses. Think about all of them. They all went through the grinder for the glory of God. And if you and I are ever called to do that, if we're doing it His way, we will count it a blessing. Because we get to share, as Paul said, in the sufferings of Christ. Because we get to be a part of the front line against the shock troops of the devil himself. And we come out a victor. Great is your reward in heaven. You might say, you know, honestly, I could do without these blessings. I'll pass on these blessings. But don't be so fast to pass on the blessings of the Beatitudes, the ones that only are available to people who follow Jesus. Maybe instead, you should embrace them. Long, long ago, the story is told of a king of old who had a great big boulder placed in the middle of the king's highway. And then he hid himself off to the side and watched to see if anyone would come and move this huge rock out of the way. Well, some of the king's most blessed citizens, wealthy merchants and highly esteemed people came walking by, and they just found their way to get around that big boulder. And more likely than not, they complained the whole time about the king and about how he ought to do a better job of maintaining his roads, and somebody ought to do something about this boulder, and boy, is it inconvenient. Finally, a nobody came down the road carrying a sack of vegetables to take to market. He was just an old dirt farmer. King didn't know his name. King had a million of those kind of subjects in his kingdom. But here comes this old dirt farmer carrying his bag of vegetables. And he gets to the stone and he sets the bag aside. And he begins to push and to grunt and to groan and to work hard and to strain. And finally, after quite a lot of effort and probably some scraped hands and some bruised elbows and all the rest of it, he got that boulder pushed off to the side. Leaned against it for a minute to catch his breath, and then he saw something where the boulder had been. He got up and walked to the middle of the road, and there, where the boulder had been, was a bag. He opened up the bag, and in the bag was a note from the king. The note said, "In this bag are a great number of gold coins. For I wanted to see who among my subjects would move the boulder just because it needed to be moved." Sometimes God puts a boulder in our path. Sometimes He allows situations into our lives, and they are things that were talked about in the Beatitudes. We've got to see it not as an obstacle, not as a challenge, not as something God is doing to us, but as a potential blessing, something God's going to use for His good, something God's going to use for His glory, something God is going to use, whether it seems like it or not at the time, to bless us. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, God says, "I will bless you." Let's pray.